It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
As McCaffrey shifts it to the backfield. Off the fake to C.J. Anderson. This is Curtis Samuel inside the five for the end zone. Touchdown.
What a tremendous job by the Carolina Panthers.
Credit to Fox on the call. It was the Carolina Panthers putting in work last week, going to 4-2, doing pretty well in the NFC South. Maybe surprising some people, maybe not. Speaking of surprises, sad news, VGK fans. Tyler Johnson scores 5 minutes into the game, 1-0 Tampa Bay. Womp womp. It's early, though. It's early. Don't worry.
Less than 5 minutes in?
Right? All right. Joining us now to talk about the aforementioned Panthers. Former Panthers offensive lineman, also played for the Rams and Cardinals and the Washington Huskies in his college days. One and only Frank Garcia. Thanks for giving us a few minutes, Frank. We appreciate it.
National champion.
I was just about to say. You didn't say national champion. I knew you were going to say that, Frank.
Seidel, what's going on, my man? How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How about yourself, man?
I'm doing great. I got a quick story about Mark Seidel.
I
respect this man more than any human out there that you would know, because this man used to smoke a pack of cigarettes a day, and we challenged him to run a mile in under 7 minutes, and there was no way in hell that any of us thought he was going to be able to do it. He went out there, and he absolutely blew it out of the water. I couldn't be more impressed with that man right there that you guys haven't seen.
It's like Lawrence Taylor. Imagine what he wouldn't have been on the cigarettes.
Yeah.
Right.
you'd have been a monster, Mark Seidel.
Well, Frank left out the part that I threw up everywhere after I was done.
Yeah, that's true.
That's fine. I like the self-deprecating nature, though, of yourself, Mark. That's why I like you.
Yeah.
You're willing to admit, even when we didn't ask, you're willing to make yourself look worse.
I got it done, though.
And I appreciate that.
I moonwalked across the finish line.
Did you really?
Yeah. Damn right I did.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. All right, we're here with Frank Garcia, former Panthers offensive lineman. Frank, let me get into it. I saw you retweet something that I thought was really interesting. The headline was, fourth quarter comebacks against the defending champs. You might recall Cam did that against Auburn, too. And it's really, the article is focused on Cam Newton's fourth quarter comebacks and his ability and maybe things that are overlooked. And I got to be honest, Frank, I was surprised. It took me by surprise.
Yeah, you know, Cam is a very polarizing figure, as you guys know. You know, either you love him or you hate him. You know, he's done tremendous things and growth and potential and what he's been able to bring, you know, to the Carolina Panthers. And, you know, I think he's handled himself, you know, a lot better as he's gotten older as a quarterback. He's seen the growth and maturity in him. I don't think he's given enough credit for him playing that position, you know, the way he's played that position. If he would have done last week, or if Aaron Rodgers would have done last week, if, you know, Tom Brady would have done what Cam did last week, if there's any of these big names, Drew Brees would have done what Cam did last week, coming back down 17 points in the fourth quarter and scoring three straight touchdowns, it would have been pasted all over the newspapers and all over the highlights. Cam doesn't get that credit, and I don't know if the reason being is because he's brash, he's a little cocky, you know, he dresses differently, or if he plays the position, you know, differently. I think it's a lot of that, but, you know, the bottom line is this guy's a winner. He's a competitor. He's an area game. You never can count him out. And, you know, it's not just with his legs. It's now becoming with his arm under North Turner.
I want to ask you, Frank, about Christian McCaffrey, man. Only one touchdown. He's, you know, other than Cam, he's the biggest part of this offense. What can they do to get their best playmaker into the end zone?
Well, you know, Mark, I think that, you know, that's the end result, you know, of what they're doing right now. The offense is running through Christian McCaffrey. The Panthers have the number one efficient offense in the red zone, or at least they did as of last week. You know, they're scoring touchdowns when they get in there, and that's important. And I don't necessarily think it has to be solely on Christian McCaffrey. That's really not what his niche is going to be. That's the reason why you have a guy like Cam. That's the reason why you have, you know, Greg Olsen. And, you know, that's the reason why you have all these other talented wide receivers that they're starting to utilize a little bit more efficiently and effectively. But, you know, Christian is going to be able to bring a guy that's consistent. He moves the chains. He's smart. He's a guy that's going to, you know, make a lot of catches. He's going to be a guy that can run between the tackles better than what a lot of people think. Everybody thinks you have to be Leonard Fournette and big and, you know, Brandon Jacobs type, 6'4", 260 pounds, you know, to run between the tackles. It's the biggest misnomer out there. You have to have patience, you have to have vision, and then you have to have that burst through the hole. And Christian McCaffrey has all of those. And, you know, that's where he's, you know, high-volume runner is going to be able to impact, you know, this team a little bit more efficiently. Teams have started to take him away and forcing the ball into other players' hands, and that's where Cam has been effective. He's at 65% completion percentage. Everybody said there's no way he's a passer that's going to be able to do that. He's not pushing the ball down the field maybe as much as we'd like, you know, here and getting those big chunk plays. But overall, I think he's played extremely well, and Christian McCaffrey is a big part of that.
Staying with the offense, Greg Olsen been back from a foot injury. I think this will be the third week back. What does it mean to not only the offense but to Cam to have somebody there that he trusts wholeheartedly, such as Greg?
You know, Mark, it's a good question because a lot of people think that, you know, the quarterback is responsible for everything in an alignment and things like that. Greg is kind of that buffer between the coordinator and the quarterback that when you struggle with the verbiage of the plays or the communication coming in and out, Greg has been around this system long enough to know that he can just call that play out or help Cam out, you know, with those things. And other players, other quarterbacks have those guys in their huddle as well. Ryan Khalil is another guy at the center position that takes some pressure off of Cam and you know, the blitz pickups and the offensive line scheme and knowing where the blitzes are coming from. So really the thing that Cam is having to focus on is, you know, finding his mismatch, getting the formation straight, and then, you know, just executing the play. And I think that because of those moving parts are all there, this team will start becoming more efficient. I would like to see them go a little bit more up-tempo, not necessarily 2 minute, but, you know, more urgency in and out of the huddle so that you have more time to make those adjustments at the line. You saw last week where they were able to come down 17, but there was a sense of urgency in which they played with, and I would like to see that a little bit more. There's too many times we see this offense sputtering because 3-2-1, I got to call a timeout because people aren't properly aligned. So the whole process has to pick up, and I think Greg Olsen helps that a lot.
Here with Frank Garcia, host of Garcia and Bailey on WFNZ in Charlotte. You can reach him on Twitter, FrankGarcia65. Frank, let's stick on that real briefly when you talk about opening that offense up and running a quicker offense. When you look at the Saints, right? Or excuse me, when you look at the Panthers, 142.4 in the conference, or excuse me, in the division, which is a division low. Plus side, they've only allowed 131. So obviously they're good on the defensive side of the ball. Do you think that running that quicker offense is going to, you know, get McCaffrey therefore more involved, therefore get this offense where it needs to be? Because I think you would agree, on paper, this is a deadly offense on some level.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you start looking at, you know, the efficiency of which the Panthers run, you know, they're a high percentage in third down conversions. They're a ball control type of offense. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, when you're looking for change-ups, if you're a pitcher, you can't just throw, you know, one pitch. You got to come at them with multiple pitches, or hitters are going to key that. Same thing with defenses. If you're always going on the same snap count, if you're always waiting to 3-2-1, snapping the ball, it's going to give that defensive guy that split second that he needs to get that step on an offensive lineman to create an edge. It makes your job a little bit more difficult as an offensive player because they see that. They can visualize in their periphery, you know, that shot clock, if you will, that game clock as it's coming down to know that, okay, he doesn't have a chance to go hut-hut. He has to go hut and snap the ball, so I'm jumping on that first hut. Guys are that smart, and they've been around the game long enough to understand that. So, you know, that quicker pace gets these guys off rhythm. It makes them more fatigued. And, you know, defensive guys aren't the smartest guys in the world. You know, they react well to the ball and are very good athletes, but you get them thinking, and, you know, they kind of sputter a little bit. So that's what good offenses try to do. They try to get those guys over there thinking a little bit so they don't react, and I think that's where the advantage comes with the offense. You know what the count is on, you know where the ball's going, and they just have to figure out how to get there and be more efficient doing it.
Well, let's stick with those defenders, and let's stick with one of your defenders, and I'm talking about Luke Kuechly. A lot of people are viewing Luke, obviously one of the better defenders in the league, I would say one of the smarter defenders in the league, going up against a guy, and I don't know if this is as simple to you. A lot of people are pointing at Flacco versus Luke, right? Like, that's the matchup. Flacco's averaging almost 300 yards a game. He's on a tear. The Ravens are actually playing really, really well this season, which for me at least is kind of surprising. I didn't have much faith in him, and I don't really have much faith in Joe Flacco, but he continually proves me wrong. When you look at that matchup, is it as important as everyone's saying and making it out to be?
No, I think there's going to be a chess game played between those guys. And you see the good quarterbacks making audibles and adjustments. And, you know, what's changed in on defense nowadays because of the quick offense and hurry pace is that middle linebacker has become the quarterback, you know, making those checks to check what or to counter what those quarterbacks are saying. And Luke does that as well as anybody. He's one of the smartest football players, as you mentioned, you're going to find. Not only is he smart, he's a guy that can come downhill and make tackles. He's a tackling machine, and he can go sideline to sideline. You know, those two big D tackles on the inside, Poe and Short, are keeping him clean, and he can run sideline to sideline and make a lot of plays. You don't see him getting fooled, you know, too often. The best way to attack Luke Kuechly is straight at him, and, you know, that's where those two big guys down underneath, you know, do a really good job. Luke Kuechly, to me, I played against some of the best linebackers in the world, you know, the Ray Lewis's, you know, the Brian Urlachers, the Junior Seau's, you know, Sam Mills was on my team. You know, I've seen some of these guys, you know, go out there and dominate games. And Luke Kuechly, you know, right now is on pace to be as good, if not better, than all of them.
Keeping it with the defense. Last week, James Bradbury kind of got torched by Alshon Jeffrey. Sorry, 7 catches, 88 yards, a touchdown. What do these guys have to do with the rookie on the other side, Dante Jackson? How can they contain John Brown? And if they're focusing on him, does that open up Michael Crabtree to have a bigger game?
Yeah, you know, he's been a guy that's, you know, still young. He's getting up there. I mean, he has a little bit more experience, but, you know, there's different matchups that he's going to, you know, struggle with versus, you know, going out there and having success. You know, a couple weeks before that, AJ Green was a guy that, you know, when he went out there and when they played the Bengals, he matched up against him, and he didn't lock him down, he didn't shut him down, but he contained him. He did a really good job. Julio Jones, similar type of thing. He's having to follow, you know, the defense or the offense's best, you know, player, and he's done a pretty good job. He's not going to win every match. You know, last week Alshon, you know, did a really good job. Carson Wentz threw some really good balls, and good offense beats good defense anytime in the league because of the rules that are in place. You're no longer allowed to grab, hold, and knock arms down. You almost have to, you know, just kind of shield them off, and, you know, hopefully the quarterback makes a bad throw and you can bat that ball away. But, you know, he's done a pretty good job. He didn't win last week. You're right. Alshon got the better of him, but he's won most of the weeks, and I'll take that matchup all day. How they're going to defend Brown? I don't know if he's the best hips. He's not a guy that's going to be able to turn and run. He doesn't have top-end speed, you know, but Dante Jackson does. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if they maybe, you know, convert him to that one-on-one guy or if they allow Bradbury to continue to do that. But automatically, I think the game plan going into it, play your defense, see where you're getting beat or hurt, and then make those adjustments accordingly.
All right. Joined by Frank Garcia, host of Garcia and Bailey on WFNZ in Charlotte. The game opened up as a pick 'em. Now see the Ravens as a 2.5-point favorite on the road in Charlotte this weekend. But I wanted to jump off of that game just for 1 second. We kind of have a similar situation. We have a guy out here by the name of O.J. Simpson who lives in Las Vegas.
Who?
O.J.
Oh, Orenthal. Orenthal. Okay, I got you.
So we have a guy named O.J. out here who's been released from prison and has kind of turned into a local celebrity out here. He goes to watch the football games down at the sports books, and people take pictures with him. I don't believe it's going to – or it is the same situation in Charlotte with Ray Carruth just getting out of prison. Talk about what's going on in the city with that.
Yeah, if the glove doesn't fit, you must have quit, right? I mean, so O.J. was innocent. At least that's what they tell you. So there's no glove here. There's all the evidence in the world that points to Ray Carruth. He was guilty as charged. You know, big difference, you know, with that scenario, in my opinion, because, you know, you look at the egregious act that was committed, and they're both egregious, and, you know, Nicole, you know, Simpson was obviously egregious as well. But it's interesting how, you know, those two kind of parallel each other, you know, with how that people are handling O.J. in Vegas versus, you know, Carruth here. And I think it's interesting because, you know, he's kind of being quiet. Nobody really knows where he's going. He's being secretive. He's flying under the radar. O.J. was out in public. He was signing autographs. You know, he was still a local celebrity. So, and, you know, Ray Carruth is staying low, you know, trying to keep moving and, you know, maybe stay out of harm's way. I'm not sure, but I couldn't imagine if the guy moved next to me how I'd feel. It would be an uncomfortable feeling, to say the least.
Not as uncomfortable as Mark Seidel running a mile in 7 minutes on a full pack of smokes. Frank, we appreciate a couple minutes, man. That was awesome. I'll never forget that story. That's for damn sure. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, you got it. Anytime, my man.
Thanks,
all right.
Frank.
Thanks, Frank.